excited about the Word of God? I mean, really, come on. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm buzzy, man. I'm just tripping on the Scripture here. It's just all week long. Actually, the last couple of weeks, I'm telling you, the more you unpack the Word of God, the more it speaks to you. And I love it. Honestly, I do. And so we've been hanging around. If you've been hanging around here, you'll know that we have been hanging around the Sermon on the Mount since the 15th of July. We've been walking through. We had 2 weeks off during the middle of the year there, around August. But we've been walking our way through this thing called the Sermon on the Mount. We're today in the episode 14. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus has been confronting us, our hearts, with lots of issues. Jesus has been confronting our character flaws, shortcomings in our character, our pride, our idolatry, our self-centeredness. I hope you're feeling really good right now. He calls us to be a bold witness for Him, uncompromising witness, to be salt and light without fear. He reminds us of our total inability to save ourselves. We call that religion. He says there's no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ. He highlights our anger, our hatred, our lust, our adultery, and our deceiving lips. As loyal subjects of His kingdom, the Sermon on the Mount is about living in a different kingdom. As loyal subjects of the kingdom, He requires us to go the extra mile or 10. He tells us to love our enemies, to live a life that's truly devoted to Him, and to stop pretending that we're Christians. He commands us to forsake all trust in possessions and money and cars and houses and bank accounts. He commands us to let go of it all, give it all to Him, and totally be broken and surrendered. He said, stop worrying about it. And He said last week, stop being judgmental. So my question this morning is, how's it all working for you? The standards of this sermon is impossibly high. The principles and the standards in the Sermon on the Mount actually is so radical and so beyond us mere earthlings that we cannot meet them on our own. And that is the point. The Sermon on the Mount is a demand for perfection. No person can fully complete it. No person can exhibit the qualities in our own strength. We're desperately needy for something a lot more than just human resolve and human determination. And that is why Jesus wrote the words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. Please turn there with me if you would. That is exactly why this portion of Scripture is the anchor, the reason how we can go all the way back to the beginning of Matthew 5, all the way through 6, and through to this point. These Scriptures are the key, my friends. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Has everybody turned their Bibles there? Or you swiped across to your app? Swiped across to your app? Swiped across the pages of your app. I won't get you to stand because I'll be making you do a workout already. But here we go. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be open to who? You. For everyone who asks receives, and for he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, he repeats himself, and it will be open. Now, to help us understand the portion, Jesus uses an illustration. This is very typical of Him. He goes on to say, just kind of re-looking at the same thing, the principle He's already just taught. He says, oh, what man is there among you who, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say, much more. Say it again, much more. Much more. How much more will your Father who is in heaven, your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask. The title of the sermon is The Wonder-Filled Life. I'm hoping that God will breathe on my words. I would just, you'd not hear me whatsoever, but the Holy Spirit would awaken these scriptures and I'm able to communicate what He wants to communicate to you. My heart for you, sir, my heart for you, madam, is that you would live the wonder-filled life that God intends for you. I didn't say easy peasy life. I didn't say wealthy and no trouble life. I said the wonder-filled life. It's my experience that the wonders of God and the deep gems and the treasures of God is found truly in brokenness. For God is only looking for broken people to use. Let me pray. Father, I'm asking you, sir, to do the impossible. I'm unable to persuade. I'm unable to entertain. I don't want to do those things. I can't. I'm a mere man, but you've appointed me for this moment in time. Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Lord, speak in our own language if necessary. Lord, penetrate the veneers of our hearts. Break down the walls, I pray, that we would truly capture the intent of the Scripture and fully absorb what you meant for us today. I pray these things in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody paying attention? I want us to pause. And I want us to think once again about God. I want us to truly get a broader perspective and understanding. Maybe it's a refresher. God is infinitely strong. And because God is infinitely strong, He can do all that He pleases. God is infinitely righteous, so that He only does what is right. God is infinitely good, so that everything He does is perfectly good. God is infinitely wise, so that He always knows completely what is right and good. And putting it all together, God is loving. So that in all His strength, His righteousness, His goodness, and His wisdom, He wants to fill His children up with eternal joy and peace and fulfillment, true satisfaction. That is the heart of Father God. The text that we just read is about a God, a wonder God, a wonder-filled God, a faithful and mighty God. And unbelievably, in our text, the very same God sends us a glorious, personal invitation to ask Him for good things. He doesn't ask us just to ask for good things. He says, He gives us a promise that He will give us good things. He promises it. Does that blow your mind? Wow. Verses 7 to 11 is an invitation. It's almost a, I dare you. I dare you to ask. This is unimaginably wonderful. The Creator of the universe stoops down and sends you and me an invitation to ask for good things. Have you ever received an invitation to a special event? Maybe a graduation or a birthday or a wedding? I mean, some invitations you want to get, right? Other invitations are a bit awkward. You're not sure what to do. You know who's going to be there. We had one of those this year. We were received our invitation to the first gay wedding. It was kind of awkward. What's our response? What do we do about that? These are people in our family who we love. You know, there are other events we go to and you kind of know who's going to be there and you're not really into it, but you kind of turn up a little bit late, you act all cool, go as soon as you can. Other events you're really excited about, right? Like coming to church in the morning. Or maybe that wedding, right? Can you imagine receiving an invitation from your favorite royal or your favorite celebrity? What's your fave? Your C-list. What's your favorite one? Come on, shout a few names around. Well, who's your favorite, like, rock star, actress, entrepreneur? Anybody like Elon Musk? Richard Branson? Come on, shout a few names out. Richard Urban? Oh, wow. Wow. Wow, thank you, Abdul. What about anyone else? Come on, let's not be too religious. Who's your like actress? Nicolas Cage? Come on. Who do you like? Mention if you, yeah. President Obama. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ripping it up here, guys. Ripping it up. Can you imagine getting an invitation to a wedding like that? A celebrity actually sends you. You go to your little old rusty letterbox. Open it up. There it is. Hard copy. Oh, nice. Your name printed. You choose. Manny Pacquiao. Maybe for me, someone like Abraham Lincoln, Samuel Marsden. Doesn't have to be current. Imagine a celebrity. Well, I don't have to imagine. I'm not wanting to boast in any way, but my cousin, my first cousin, is a celebrity, and he's married to a celebrity. His name is Keith Urban. And my father got an invitation. You see, us mere cousins, there's just too many of us, and it was going to be too much of a big deal. My father got an invitation, and wow, can you imagine? It didn't matter what the date was. He cleared the calendar. He took leave from employment. Him and his wife got a new haircut and a new dress and a new suit. They paid for tickets to fly over there. They spent the whole weekend in a hotel. You could only be in the particular hotel, and you couldn't leave the hotel because within 30 minutes, you had to be ready to get an airplane or a limousine, a helicopter. Those were the conditions, you see, because they're trying to control the media. So they didn't want to tell you where it was going to be, otherwise you might leak it and tell your kids, who tells your schoolmates and tells everybody else. You see, Nicole and Keith had previously tried to get married in Fiji. Anybody got from Fiji here? But one of Nicole's relatives spilt the beans, and so every woman's magazine in town was onto it, and so they kept it really controlled. You had to stay in the hotel and have your tux ready, your dress ready, shaved up, ready to go, hang out in the hotel within 30 minutes notice, be dressed and ready to go. My dad was so excited. He thought he might meet Russell Crowe. Oh, Naomi Watts, all these actresses and actors. I mean, they were all there. How would you feel if you got an invitation? Imagine if it actually happened. Whether it's your favorite royal or rock star, rapper, actor, actress, or entrepreneur, or maybe a singer. The event is full of prominent, successful, wealthy, and of course, beautiful people. Straight teeth, perfect skin. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no one more wealthy than God. There is no one more prominent and more successful than Almighty God. He made the galaxies. He made the planets and the stars and the sun. He made the animals and the plants and the oceans. And He made it all for you. You were designed by Him, purposed by Him, adored by Him, planned by Him, placed by Him, and it is He who puts breath in your lungs forever and ever. Amen. He is the one. He sent you a personal invitation to come and to seek Him and to talk to Him and to trust Him and to ask Him for good things. He's incomparable to some celebrity. He's God Almighty. God Almighty, and He invites you to know Him, to seek Him, words are failing me right now. Hallelujah. He wants you to come and to ask Him and to have a relationship with Him. And if you ask for good things, He will give it to you. This, I believe, is the greatest tragedy of the church, that our prayer life is so waning and so absent and so pathetic. God sends us an invitation, and we, our hearts, are drawn aside to other things. It's an opportunity to seek God, to know God, to ask Him, to bless our life, to show us, to lead us. But all too often, we're too busy and too distracted. I don't know that there's a bigger crime in the church than His own children don't pray And don't pray boldly. Because we're all too busy. Yet I know that we would jump for joy. We'd find the time. We'd get rid of our calendar so we could get to the celebrity wedding. Oh yeah. You would. You'd organize childcare. You'd find the budget. You'd do an extra job. Oh, baby, you'd make it happen. Because guess what? It's a celebrity wedding, and it's your fave. How on earth can we take on such a mindset and such a condition in our heart for some mere celebrity that next year won't even know their name because of blowing off the scene? But God Almighty, consistent and strong, every day puts breath in our lungs, causes us to grow, and yet we neglect our prayers. And sadly, most of us don't live the wonder-filled life. Other things have crept in. Other things. How's your prayer life? Is it regular? Is it alive? Is it from the heart? You don't have to come to a pope, a priest, or a pastor. You can go to Almighty God, your Father in heaven. And bring all of your heart, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and lay it at his feet. And you can be guaranteed he has the strength, the wisdom, the might, the power, the love to take care of it all. You just have to surrender. That's what Jesus was teaching those poor people on the side of the mountain. It's an invitation for all his children. But unfortunately, only a few of us will make it a reality. He says, ask. Seek, knock, seeking and knocking, they're metaphors of prayer, and they grow in intensity. Asking is simply a humble request of God, but seeking is now we're adding a little bit of activity to our prayer. It's like looking for a job. We commit our ways to God. We pray, God, would you give me the right job, the right pay? Lord, let it not be on a Sunday so I can get to church. Put me in the right place to reach other people, Lord. I know it's more than just money and career development. It's about reaching people. It's about fulfilling the call of God upon my life. And then what do? Once we pray, we get busy looking. Trade me, seek, right? We add a little bit of action to the prayer. Either probably two camps in this room, pray, 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 do nothing. And there's other people that are busy, 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 but don't pray. Ask, seek. And then he says, knock. To pray with perseverance. It's like praying for a loved one, as I do. I try to make it a habit of mine each Wednesday morning, in addition to my regular prayers, to intercede for particular loved ones in my family who don't know God, who many once walked with God but no longer do. Am I willing to labor away and persevere in my prayer? Maybe it's healing. See, persevering prayer demonstrates our trust in God. It builds our faith, and it prepares us to receive the answer. Maybe this little story, this little idea will help us today. It's like a little child. We just dedicated sweet Nina. Maybe in a couple of years, this will be Nina. And if the father is close by in the same room, a child might simply ask a father for a need. But maybe the father is in another place in the house, unseen. So the child would seek to find the father and ask a father what he needs. But maybe the child finds the father door shut in the study, like is my case often, and the child needs to knock on the door, and the father's very ready to meet the needs and fulfill the needs of the child. I love that picture because Jesus takes us to a home, to a father-child relationship, to understand our relationship with him. There's a couple of things about that little story. Number one, whether you feel God is near or far, he's in the house. Number two, it took the child effort to find the father. See, God issues an invitation to us all. It's in the mailbox. It's in your inbox. It's right there. But only a few of us, I think, I hope all of us, will let that become a reality. It takes effort to go looking. like that little child finding dad. Oh, he's in the office. Bang, bang, bang. The door opens. Effort. Seven times in five verses, God promises to give us good things to those who ask, seek, and knock. Listen to me. God wants to. He's there and he's wanting to give good things to you. I didn't say give whatever you want. I say give good things to you. Because we don't always know what's good for us. We just looked at an illustration about a child asking for a stone and a fish. But some people ask for serpents, and a good father would never give his kid a serpent. Even though they might cry and they might complain, God, you're not really real, you didn't hear my prayer. God might just know that that new big TV might get you addicted. It might be a snake in your living room, a snake in your life. No good father would give his child a serpent. Can we all agree with that? The enemy knows. Satan is fully aware. That's why he wants to strangle your prayer life with distractions and busyness. He knows that it's your lifeline to God. I love this little poem by William Cowper. It says, "Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." God is a good father. He doesn't say he's going to give us whatever we ask. He will always listen. And he only ever wants to give us good things. But you see, we need to come to a place where we're prepared to let him decide what is good in our life. He knows us better than we know ourselves. God's delays are not God's denials. There's a reason you haven't got what you want right now. Is he a horrible father and a cold, distant, emotionally disengaged, abusive even kind of father? Absolutely not. I hope you know that. I hope I'm a half-decent father, but compared to God, I'm truly evil. He alone is good. He wants you to know something today. A good father only wants what is good for his children. Can all the dads in the room say amen?
Amen?
You only want what is good for your kids, right? I don't believe there's one man here that would withhold anything that was good for their children. But timing and what it is vital. It's very important. That's why God doesn't say yes to everything. Sometimes he says yes, and he gives us exactly what we want and when we want it. It doesn't seem to be that often. But sometimes he does it. We just have to ask. Sometimes God says no because he has something better for you. An upgrade. An improvement. Sometimes he says no because our request will harm us, like the child who all asked for a serpent. Sometimes God says not yet because we're not yet in a fit state to receive it. Our maturity, our character. Do you think if God gave you $1 million right now? Oh, yes, Pastor, now you're preaching. Woo-hoo! Let's pray. Oh, yeah, $1 million smackaroos, man. Do you really think that would be a good thing? Some of us in this room would no longer need to really talk to God because they'd be so busy looking for all their toys on Trade Me, flying around the world. Some of us within 6 months will start complaining, why didn't I get $10 million? God knows our hearts. I'm asking God to make my heart such that he can trust me with any amount of money, that it wouldn't change my course, my character, my call. But I wouldn't trust me with $10 million. It would ruin me. You know, most people that win the lotto, maybe all of them, no longer have the wealth. It ruins families. It breaks people apart. You see, you may think it's good, but your Father in heaven truly knows what's good for you. He says, come, ask, seek, knock. If you're still waiting for that prayer to be answered, I want to encourage you today, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. God is preparing something amazing for you. Do not quit. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't quit. Don't quit on God. If it's one thing I've learned all these years, these 75 years I've been alive. That's a lie. Oh, I feel like it sometimes. Honestly, man. God's timing is perfect. Perfect. His timing is perfect. Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. And here's the key. Walk uprightly with God. As you walk uprightly with God, the desires of your heart will become things that please him. And he'll begin to pour it out. Begin to pour it out. Ask, knock. Ask, seek, and knock. He's a good father. He loves you. You weren't a mistake. He sees everything. He knows it all. He knows it all. And he still has a heart full of good for you. Even though we were sinners, he still died on the cross for us. Wow. Such amazing love, perfect love. The connection, the lifeline is prayer. How's your prayer life? If someone said, just pray for 30 minutes and I'll give you $1 million, we'd all be on the floor praying. Just pray 10 minutes, we'll give you a new car. We'd all be praying. We just don't love God that much. Some of us are too busy watching celeb stuff, celebrity stuff in social media, magazines. We haven't got time for the Bible. Don't get me wrong. This is no condemnation trip. I'm just trying to be real here. What we do with our time tells a lot about our heart. God Almighty is inviting us to live a life that's filled with wonder, to see miracles and mission and breakthrough and things happen. Well, it begins with a child desperate to be with his father. Desperate. Not some conjured up religious, tidy little prayer, but a heart that's pumping, a heart that says, I want to know you, God. I want to walk with you. Change me, mold me, make me the kind of man and woman that you want me to be. And Father God says, aha, let's start working. Let's start working. Let's start working. Ask, seek, and knock, and he promises. Promises people, not a suggestion, not a possibility, not even a probability, a promise that he will give you good things. I challenge you today, get time every day with God. Get time intentionally with prayer and pressing into God. I challenge you today. Seek him. Cry out to him. And be honest and say, God, I don't really want to pray. Change my heart so I will pray. Give me the kind of love. Let's not try to manufacture it. Let's not pretend. But let's at least begin by acknowledging our need for repentance and our need that we're so full of pride that we could even think that we can do a day without God. And every second he's putting breath in our lungs. He brings the sun up every morning. There's so many blessings untold. He's just lavishing love, lavishing provision, lavishing every day, but we are too busy. Is anybody feeling convicted apart from me? The foundation of prayer is the cross. It's implied in the text. It's not explicit, but it's implicit. It's right there because it says we're evil. And how can we be an evil in nature? Evil is not just Adolf Hitler or someone like that. It's anything against the will and purposes of God. Evil transforms us to become a child of God. Our Father in heaven somehow changes us from being an evil, sinful person to becoming a child of His. That is because of the cross. It's the cross. It's an evil child becoming into intimacy with a holy God. It's because of the complete work of our Lord and Savior on the cross. His death paid for all of our sin. His death offers up those who have received Him to come into intimacy and to discover a life filled with awe and breathtaking wonder. I didn't say easy. I didn't say without tribulation. I can prophesy or promise it. Life will be hard. But in the midst of it all, like Daniel in the lion's den, or Jesus on the cross, beautiful intimacy, good things, good spiritual things are pouring out of heaven for those who are broken. Not one of us is beyond the grace and the reach of God this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I would love to give you the opportunity for you to learn and to know about this Jesus Christ. You don't have to do anything more. You don't have to go and try and tidy your life up, deal with these secret sins, sort out my addictions, my dysfunctions. If you bring it all to the cross with a sincere, repentant heart, He will forgive you, my friend. He will cleanse you. He'll wash you, and He'll begin to work in your heart. These are called good things. Let's close our eyes if we can. Let's just close our eyes. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, or maybe you've walked away from Him, today you want to know Jesus Christ, while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, on the count of three, I'm not going to delay this, on the count of three, I want you to put your hand up nice and high, say, Pastor, that's me. On the count of three, if you want to know Jesus, you want to give your heart to Him, discover this life that I talk about, on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, hands in the air, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Praise God. Why don't we stand to our feet? If you can all look at me, please, before we sing a song. How is your prayer life? Is it regular? Is it alive? Is it intimate? Is it a priority? While we're standing, if I can again just ask you to close your eyes, please. Because I want us to have a really private moment. You see, we always plan for things that are important to us. And I want to ask you today, would you have the humility to acknowledge? I'm going to close my eyes as I stand here. Would you have the humility to acknowledge before God that you want your prayer life to grow? You want to reconnect with God. You want to have a vital, life-giving exchange with God. You want to come into a place where being with Him is more important than food, that being with Him is more important than entertainment, that being important with Him is more important than jobs and possessions and things. Oh God, I pray today that there would be a real change in our spirit. Only God can do that, my friend. If that's you today, can I ask you to put your hand up nice and high? I want to pray for you. I can't see. Between you and God. Father, I pray today that you do something unique and special in our hearts today. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you come and burn away the distractions. Burn away, Father God, take away the things, Lord, that stop us connecting. Oh, Lord, today we hear that invitation to come into a place of intimacy, to come into a place where truly we feel spiritually alive, that, Lord God, even families and homes can begin to become more healthy because dad and mama praying together. Lord, I pray for a heart of transformation. transformation today. Lord, forgive us today. Cleanse our heart. Remove the things, Lord, the weight that so easily ensnares us, and even the sins, Father God, I pray you'd birth within so many today, Lord, a fresh new hunger, Lord, to pray and to know you and to walk with you and to see you do amazing things. We awesome. We bless you, Father. We honor you today in your powerful and precious name. And everyone said, I think we need to sing a song. If you need to pass on, fine, but let's hold back for a few minutes and sing and give God praise and thank him for the good things in our life. Can we do that? And as you do, put your heart, cry out to him. Say, God, change me, make me. You're awesome, you're great, you're mighty, and mean it from here. Can we do that? Come on, band, why don't you lead us now? I want to leave you with this question. As you walk out these doors to your car and get really busy with your very, very busy life, will you accept the invitation from Father God to meet him daily in prayer? Or will you decline because we're too busy? We have a conflicting arrangement here, God. You want to be God, but I want to be God. God says, go ahead. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we have most of the drama, because we try to be God. If you don't have an active living prayer life, you're trying to be God. I'm just trying to say it up front the way it is. Desperate people, needy people, they pursue God. The people who think they've got it all together, they got it all down, they don't need God. They're people who don't pray. Sadly, they darken the doors of many churches. Happy for a little sing-song and a little tickle of the ears. But ladies and gentlemen, the world's gone to hell and it's waiting for a generation of people to rise up, be in prayer, look at the Word of God, begin to believe what it says, and go, go, go into the world and make disciples. That's Christianity. Oh God, we bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive us. Forgive us for our sin, Father. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, I pray. Oh, Lord, Jesus, will you accept the invitation or will you decline? That is the question. Father, I pray that that question would gnaw away at our hearts over lunch and over dinner. And I pray, Lord, precious Jesus, that you find humble people, people who would have time for God, not driven by obligation or condemnation. Lord, I don't want any of that. I want love. People would love you. You died on that cross for us. It is the very least we could do. Thank you for your generosity. Even me, us, who get so easily caught up in other things, the grace of God is extended to us today, and an invitation to a place of intimacy and surrender and the wonder-filled life. Bless these precious saints, I pray, every home. May our hearts all turn to you again. May your face shine upon us all. In your wonderful name, I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Have a good day.